Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, tonight we celebrate the personification of the most special love this world will ever know. In Christ Jesus, you became a person and came and lived among us. And that changed everything for everyone forever. And so tonight we celebrate. And would your Spirit guide us in this evening as we celebrate the joy of Christmas? This we pray in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
The Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made by when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in
Several years ago, while preaching on the Protestant Hour, Reverend Harry H. Pritchett told about the most horrible nativity scene that he had ever witnessed. He said it happened in the church where he was growing up while he was a member of the youth group. He was chosen that year to play the part of Joseph. Allison, who was his future wife, as it turned out, was chosen to play Mary. They learned their parts quite well. They played it with all seriousness and commitment. They tried to be as pious as possible. Not quite so, however, with the other members of their youth group, especially some of their young friends who were chosen to play the role of shepherds. Things started out all right. The shepherds came down the aisle kind of rambunctiously. They were in their flannel bathrobes and their headgear. They bounced up on the stage, and they all gathered around the manger. the future pastor, Harry, Allison, playing Joseph and Mary respectively, looked down at the manger scene where there was a single light bulb that shone. About this time, one of the shepherds turned his back to the audience and in a whisper that all of the cast could hear said, "Hey, Joe, when are you going to pass out the cigars?" The solemnity that had been there was not there anymore. The sacred spell was broken, and even though Joseph and Mary tried their best to control their laughter, it was one of those things where they started laughing and couldn't hold it in, and they laughed and laughed and laughed. By this time, the whole thing was coming down. All the crew was just guffawing and snorting and snickering. And to top it all off, the high angel who was standing on a chair right behind the manger got so tickled that she fell off and she started rolling in the floor, holding her stomach with all kinds of laughter. Well, by this time, the poor youth minister, who was a good sport, said, "The only thing that didn't come to pieces was the light bulb in the manger. It never went out." And later on, as a minister, Harry Pritchett, who had played Joseph, said, "What a wonderful image to hold on to. The light in the manger. It never goes out." Even in times of darkness, hold on to that image from that young adult youth group nativity scene. Even if it's darkness caused by a situation, a circumstance, bad decision, or even a sin. Remember that regardless of the mess that things might seem to be in, the light never goes out. It came into the world on that first Christmas. It came through the birth of a baby, the light of the world. That baby changed the world. Parents and grandparents know how that can be, don't they? It was toward the end of the Korean War in 1953. And American soldiers were still stationed in Korea, just waiting for their orders to go back home. Hugh Keenan was a young sailor on the USS Consolation. It was a medical ship during that war. Morale on the ship was extremely low. The war had been long. Everybody just wanted to go back home. Hugh Keenan, the young sailor, had a wife and a young daughter. He was homesick. So some of the sailors said, to pick up his spirits, "Why don't you go ashore and visit one of the Korean orphanages run by the Catholic nuns?" Hugh complied, and he went to the orphanage. He was amazed at all of the bright-eyed little children who would peer at him. The nuns were loving, resourceful, faithful. Some of the children were actually using apple crates for cribs. One little boy in particular caught the eye of Hugh Keenan. He was a biracial baby, half American, half Korean. Hugh knew that in that day and age, there would be such prejudice against this child as he grew up in Korean society. About that time, the captain of the ship and one of the first officers who had also toured the orphanage decided that they would try their best, if they could get the Korean government to comply, to take this little baby, biracial baby, back home. Called George at first, the biracial baby came back to the USS Consolation, and all of a sudden the morale of that ship just shifted incredibly. Everyone was so excited that a baby was on board. In fact, the men lined up to take their places and to take their opportunity to change the baby, feed the baby, play with the baby. Everybody wanted to be a part of this young baby, this George, who was changing their life and lifting their morale. But there was still this one problem of getting the okay from the Korean government that baby George could be taken back home. The chaplain on the ship, Father Keenan, decided that he would take matters into his own hands. And so the good father went to the Korean government, and believe it or not, and God works in strange ways, he arranged a poker game. And the father put up $200 of his own money, and the doctor of the ship put up his watch, which was a family heirloom, and the Korean official put up the passport for baby George, and whoever won the game got the entire pot. Father won. And at that point, Hugh Keenan, who had first spied that baby, stepped up and said, "I feel like I'm supposed to adopt him." And there were cheers from all the sailors. Baby George was taken back home. He was renamed Daniel Edward Keenan. Daniel for Hugh Keenan's father, Edward for the father, the chaplain who had won at the poker game. He was raised up to be a fine young man, graduated from Washington State University, had a family and children of his own. 40 years later, 1993, the people of the USS Consolation decided that there would be a reunion, and they wanted baby George to be the surprise guest. When George was introduced now, this 40 years later, all of those sailors, aging in their own right, had tears in their eyes and cheered. "You developed into such a fine young man," they said. "You changed our lives back there on that ship. We're glad that we could be a part of your upbringing." Isn't it amazing how babies can change our world? But long ago on that first Christmas, the baby changed the world. He came to give hope. Born as a baby, put in a Bethlehem manger, he was the light of the world, a light which never goes out. So on this Christmas Eve, when we come to this place to celebrate his birth, regardless of whether or not there is some darkness in your life now, and there will be some darkness in your life in the future, know that despite the mess that we sometimes find ourselves in, that there is one thing which never goes to pieces. It's the light shining in the manger. It's the light of the Savior. It's the light that never goes out. Shall we pray? Tonight, O God, we give thanks for the gift of your Son and our Savior, Christ Jesus. Thank you, O God, that you loved us to such an extent that you became one of us in the person of Christ. Tonight, Father, as we celebrate your Son's birth, remind us that regardless of what mess we might find ourselves in now or in the future, that you're with us and for us, that we can have hope because your light never, never goes out. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.